I'm Chance Dorland, and this is The Docket, our weekly interview program covering law and crime in San Antonio and Bexar County from ExpressNews.com. A San Antonio man convicted of killing his 14-year-old son, supposedly by accident, has now been sentenced to 12 years in prison. I'm joined by Express News criminal justice enterprise reporter Emily Eaton for details on this case and the sentencing that was handed down on Friday. So, Emily, we usually speak quite often on the In-Depth podcast where you break down big cases that you've been covering, but as last week you helped out covering a trial that took place in the 379th District Court, here we are now on the docket. So, as always, great to speak with you. Let's start with some details about this case, the death of a 14-year-old San Antonio teenager that took place on the east side. So, tell me what happened there as originally reported to the police, and then we'll talk about maybe a little bit later on what the police decided actually happened.
Yes. So what happened is Andres Delgado lives on the east side with his son, his 14-year-old son, and his 10-year-old daughter. And he told police that he thought he heard someone breaking into his 10-year-old daughter's bedroom, and that he went into the bedroom and he saw a figure there, a man with a gun, and that the man shot two times. And he said he returned fire to protect his home and protect his kids, and by accident ended up shooting his 14-year-old son in the abdomen. So this happened around 6 a.m. about a year ago in March of last year. And the ambulance were called, and actually one of our reporters was on the scene, and he took these really poignant photographs of Andres Delgado following his son out to the ambulance and crying, sort of very, very anguished, and looking at his son as his son was being brought into the ambulance. And his son ended up dying an hour later at the hospital.
So authorities at the time said that Delgado's story of a break-in and then shots being fired didn't match up with the evidence they found at the scene. So what did they find, and what conclusions did that evidence lead them to?
Yes. So even after they, even initially when they began talking to Andres Delgado, he admitted that he shot five different guns during the course of this break-in, including an AR-15 and a shotgun and three different handguns. So I think they were a little suspicious to begin with, simply because why would you shoot five different guns in the course of a break-in? They also found 50 live rounds of handgun, rifle, and shotgun ammunition in the home. And then they spoke to Andres Delgado's father, who lived across the street, and he reported that he heard several gunshots coming from his son's house that morning, and that he went to check on the family and his son said everything was okay. So he returned home, and then moments later, more gunshots rang out, and this is when the son, who they called Little Andy, was shot and killed. So I think they were a little suspicious that there were so many gunshots, and that there was a pause in this gunfire where he had an exchange with his father and then continued shooting.
So some disagreement on exactly what happened, but the end results, you know, very unfortunate. Andres Delgado shot and killed his son. And then recently, the 45-year-old, he pleaded no contest in the death of his son. Then last week, the defense and prosecutors tried to sway Judge Ron Ronhell to either sentence the man to probation or the maximum sentence of 12 years. So I'm wondering, what were the arguments the two sides made?
The defense attorney for Andres Delgado claimed that his client had PTSD from his time in a gang almost 20 years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago. And he said that his client was shot at one point while he was a member of this gang, and that he suffered from PTSD as a result, in addition to paranoid characteristics and major depressive disorder, which is essentially depression. And so he claimed that there should be some leniency for his client because of these existing conditions, and that those likely led him, at least according to the lawyer, to shooting his son. You know, essentially, like, he was paranoid. He had PTSD. He didn't react like a normal person would react. And as a result, there should be some leniency for him. And he also claimed that his client had already suffered a great deal, and that he was completely anguished and upset that he had killed his own son. He said his client had begun going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings to treat alcohol disorder, and also that he used cocaine quite frequently, and that he had been continuing to go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings as well. So he said all of those things in totality should be taken into consideration, and that the judge should give him probation. Now, on the other hand, the prosecutor said that a 12-year sentence, though the maximum allowed by law, is quite lenient considering that Andres Delgado was responsible for killing his son. And they also pointed to the gang activity and said, you know, look, this guy is a violent offender. He has a history. He has a criminal history. And there shouldn't be any leniency. He should get the whole 12 years.
So that hearing where they decided what that final sentencing was going to be, it was filled by dozens of family members. I'm interested in what they had to say, because I believe there wasn't a unified voice from the family on this man's actions and what the consequences should be.
That's correct, Chance. So there were dozens of family members there. And in fact, there was even a little bit of drama before the proceedings started. Someone from the prosecutor's team came over and was explaining how the proceedings would work, and told the family, hey, don't act out, don't yell, don't do anything in the proceedings. And they said, there won't be any problem for us, but we don't know about them over there. Referring to some other family members. And these other family members began cursing at them and were escorted out of the courthouse before the judge even made it in the room. So there was a lot of tension, a lot of disagreement among family members. I think they were mainly unified in supporting each other, but they weren't sure the best consequence for this man, for their son, their brother, their uncle. So some family members said that he always had problems, that when he was in a gang, gang members would come by the family home and they would shoot at the home. They said that they tried to intervene, but that nothing was effective, and that he was just a very, very angry person. And that while they still loved him, that they believed there needed to be consequences for his actions. They didn't specify what those consequences should be, but they were testifying on behalf of the prosecutor. So presumably, they agreed to an extent with some type of prison term. Now, Andres Delgado's brother testified that he was very upset that his nephew was killed, but that he believed it was an accident, and he thought that his brother had shown enough remorse that he shouldn't be sentenced to prison, that he should get the probation instead.
As we've already mentioned in today's episode, that final sentence was the max, 12 years for the death of this man's teenage son. I assume that means that Andres Delgado would be eligible for parole in about 6 years when he's around the age of 51, as that's typically the case. Half the sentence means you're usually eligible for probation.
Yes, that's correct. It's quite possible that he won't end up serving the whole 12-year term.
And then finally, before we say goodbye, Emily, any final thoughts on this case?
Yeah, Chance. You know, I think this case really represents the complexity of family violence cases. It was a really, really sad hearing. You know, you could tell how much this had torn apart the family. And Andres Delgado's mother was there, and you could tell that she didn't know who to support. Does she support her 14-year-old grandson who was killed while he was sleeping through no fault of his own? Or does she support her son? It's just a very sad representation of how these crimes can tear up a family and how complicated it is for a family to grieve through a process like this. In fact, some of the people who testified against Andres Delgado, some of his family members, when the sentence was finally announced, they started weeping. And it wasn't really clear if they were weeping in joy or in sadness. I think they were just really, really upset regardless. There is no happy ending for these family members. It was a really sad case. It was a very interesting case. And I'm glad we got to highlight it here on the docket.
And thank you to San Antonio Express News Criminal Justice Enterprise reporter Emily Eaton for joining me for today's episode of The Docket, our weekly interview program covering long crime in San Antonio from expressnews.com. For the San Antonio Express News, I'm Chance Dorland.